Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and it's a very exciting moment as we begin our study of Seder Kodashim. We have just finished our successful study, Baruch Hashem, of Seder Nezikin with the completion of Masachet Horayot, and now we move to the fifth and penultimate Seder of the Shas, of the Shisa Sedarim, Seder Kodashim, which is devoted chiefly to things relating to Korbanot and the Beit HaMikdash, although Masachet Chulin will take us into a slightly different direction, and a very significant one. And the opening two Masachtot, which to some extent are mirrors of each other, are somewhat parallel, are Masachet Zevachim and Masachet Menachot. Zevachim deals, as its name implies, with Korbanot that are animals, and therefore a zevach, which literally means a slaughtered animal, is the focal point around which the Masechet is arranged. And Masechet Menachot, as its name implies, deals with all of the other Korbanot, which are chiefly the grain offerings, Menachot, also the Korbanot Ha'of, the bird offerings, and Nesachim, the wine and oil offerings that are part of the makeup of the worship in the Beit HaMikdash. As I put on the handout, and critical to read this handout, because it has important introductory information that will make the first Mishnah and the first Perek, and indeed the first few Parkim of Masachet Zevachim much easier to follow, is only a small piece of a large literature of introductory material to Seder Kodashim, and I highly recommend reading the Rambam's introduction to Seder Kodashim and other introductions to Masachet Zevachim, which lay out the different Korbanot and the different Avodot. However, the focal point of this first perek is the consideration of Lishma, meaning that the intent that the officiant, which is usually going to be the Kohen, has in mind when doing one of the avodot must be for the proper kind of korban for which it's being brought, and for several other things, and we will get to that towards the end of this particular podcast. We'll begin with the opening Mishnah. Kol ha-zvachim she-nizbechu shelo lishman. All zvachim that were slaughtered for a different kind of korban than what they are. That's how we'll translate it now. Ksherim, they are kasher, which means they continue their route up to the Mizbeach and everything that follows. Ela shelo alu labalim l'shem chovah. The one exception, the one limitation is that they are not reckoned for their owners and for the obligation of their owners. Meaning that if somebody was obligated to bring a particular kind of korban, or took an obligation upon himself to bring a particular kind of korban, brought a korban, and let's say somewhere along the line, let's say he himself was shechting it, because you don't need a coin for shechita, and he shechted it, and it was an olah, and he thought this is going to be a shlamim, then it continues on its path, but he has not fulfilled his obligation, must bring another one. Chutz min ha-pesach v'chatat. The two exceptions here are korban pesach v'enei korban chatat. Ha-pesach bizmano, pesach only on the 14th in the afternoon. V'chatat b'chol zman, chatat anytime if it's brought shelo lishmo, it is pasul and stops it in its tracks and doesn't go on the mizbeach. Now, Rebbe Eliezer adds, and he says, Omer af ha-asham. The asham is also an exception. Ha-Pesach b'zono, ha-Chatat v'asham b'chol zman. So not only Chatat, but also Asham, which is sort of a sister of Chatat, is at any time of year. Important to note, Chatat is much more of a generic kind of Korban, and we dealt with a lot in Masechet Horayot. And Asham comes for one of a very limited amount of violations. That's what we refer to as Asham Vadai. And the Asham is Asham Mi'ilot, Asham Gezelot, Asham Shifcha Harufa. There's basically five. Now, Amar Rebbe Eliezer, here's his argument. Hachatat ba'al chet v'asham ba'al chet. Hachatat comes to expiate a sin, so does an Asham. So ma chatat psula shelo lishmo, v'asham psula shelo lishmo. Therefore, just as a chatat is invalid if brought for the wrong reason, similarly, an Asham is, and that's his equation. The next piece is really Mishnah Bet, but it comes together. We'll take a look at it. Yossi ben Chone Omer. He has another calculus. He adds on to the exceptions and says, "Hanishchatin l'shem Pesach l'shem chatat." So not only if a chatat is brought wrong, or Pesach bismano is brought wrong, but if anything else is brought l'shem chatat or l'shem Pesach, psulin. And in the Gemara, in a number of podcasts, we will get to an analysis of his reasoning. And Shimon Achi Azariah, as Rashi points out, he's called Shimon Achi Azariah, as opposed to Ben, whatever his father's name was, because his brother Azariah agreed to support him in his time of study, so that he could devote his life to study, and the schut was that he got called Shimon Achi Azariah to give credit to his brother. He had a different calculation. Shchatan l'shem gavoh mehen k'sherin l'shem namuch mehen psulin. If you shecht an animal intending for something that's of a higher grade of kedusha than what it is, it's still valid, but for a lower one, it's invalid. Ketzad, an example. Kodshe kodshim, like an olah, sheshchatan l'shem kodshim kalim, like a shlamim. Psulin, kodshim kalim, shchatan l'shem kodshe kodshim k'sherin, but if you shecht a shlamim l'shem olah, it's kasher. Habachor v'maaser. Maser here means maser behema, sheshchatan l'shem shlamim. Those are the lower level of kodshei kodshim, or kodshim kalim. Sherin, shlamim sheshchatan l'shem b'chor l'shem maser psulin, but regular shlamim, if you shechted them for intending that there's a b'chor or maser behema, thinking that, then they are pasul because that's a lower grade. And later on we'll discuss why these are lower grades, and all the distinctions of Kodashim Kalim and Kodashay Kodashim, and what that all means, will all become unfolded in the parak. But for right now, we're going to focus on the one issue, which is Lishma. Now, Lama Li the Mitni Ela Shelo Alu. Why does the Mishnah use the language, the formulation, Ela Shelo Alu, Litni Velo Alu, Mabal Nimishem Chova? Why doesn't it say they're kosher, and they don't count? Why does it say they're kosher, however they don't count? So Hakamashma and the Baalimu to Lo Alu L'Shem Chova, it's teaching you that the only way in which they're deficient is they don't count for the owners. Ha'ukshatayu Kaimi, but they maintain their original status of Kedusha. They are not deficient in any way that way. V'asur L'Shnei Bahu, and you are not allowed to do further deviations from the proper intent. U'chidirava, as Rava said, Da'amarava, Ola Sheshchata Shelo L'Shma, Asur L'Shok D'Mashal L'Shma. If you shechted an Ola with improper intent. Improper here doesn't mean l'shem avodah zarah, chas v'shalom, or l'shem pigul. It just means that you did it for something else, for a chatat. He said, nonetheless, you're not allowed to do the next step or a later step, so it's a zrikat dam, shelo lishma. Meaning, you have to maintain the proper behavior, even though you already flubbed it up. Now, ibaitem asfar, ibaitem akra. You could argue that this is based on reasoning. You could argue that this is based on a pasuk, and this pasuk will be very key for us. Let's see how that works. Ibaite masvara, which is mishum l'shani ba'kolhani lishni ba'valezel, just because you flubbed up. Should you flubbed up more? You did a wrong machshava. The animals, the korban's still kosher. There's no reason. You're not allowed to continue to make another, to make more mistakes. Ibaite makra, it's possible that it comes from a pasuk. What's the pasuk? It's the only pasuk on our page. Motzas fatachat tishmor va'asita kashen adarta l'adonai lohecha nidava. You should guard and fulfill what comes out of your mouth, whatever obligations you have, as you vowed to Hashem, nedava, as a voluntary offering. Now, we have two kinds of voluntary offerings. One is called a neder, in which you said, I accept upon myself the obligation to bring an olah or to bring a shlamim. And the other is a nedava, when you point to an animal and says, this animal is now a shlamim. And the critical difference is that if you say, I accept upon myself an obligation, which is a neder, and let's say that on your way to the Beit HaMikdash to Shalayim, the animal dies, then you have to go get another one, because you have an obligation to bring an olah. If, on the other hand, you pointed to a particular animal and said, this is an olah, which is called nedava, if the animal dies, then you're off the hook, because that animal's not around anymore. The obligation is not on you, it's on an animal. So, what's the kicker from this pasuk? Hai nedava, how can you say kasher nadarta nedava? And neder and nevar are different. So how could you call it nedava? Nederhu. Elaim kamasher nadarta sita ye neder. So how do we read the pasuk? If you did exactly what you said you were going to do, it's a neder. V'im lo, but if not, nedavahi. It's not nothing, it's still a nedava. If you have a korban nedava, you're not allowed to treat the machshavot fast and loose. If you have an olat nedava, You're not allowed to say, well, it's only in a deval. Think about it as shlamim or something else. You still have to do the right thing. So therefore, even though you flubbed it up on the shchita, let's say, and it's now not going to count for the owners, it's still in a deval. In a deval, you're not allowed to monkey around with the machshavot. Now, we have the beginning of a story here, which is going to carry us through the end of this podcast and into the next one. Amarli Ravina the Rav Papa. So these are two students of Rava. He said, Lo havit gaban be'urta, you weren't with us last night, b'tchuma be'chermech, in a certain place. The Rami Rava mili malaita. Rava threw different things against each other, very nice things. Hadadi v'shani lehu, and he answered them. In other words, Rava displayed his Talmudic virtuosity, if you will, by identifying a contradiction, a conceptual contradiction, and then resolving it. My mili malaita. So now we have to assume our Papa asked Ravina, what were the hot words, the good words? Tanan, our Mishnah, calls Vachim Mishnah, Zvachush, Lishman, etc. And now we say, Tama de Shalol Lishman. The only reason that they don't count for the owner is because you had an affirmative wrong thought. Hastama, but if you just didn't have any thought whatsoever, Alunam of the Baal Mishnah Chava, they would even count for the owners. So what do we see from there? Alma, Stama, Naami, Kilishman, Dami. When you do something stam, it's as if you brought it for the right purpose. Urimini, what was Rava's challenge from that, from the Mishnah in the third parak of Gittin, call hagetchen ichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul. Any get that was written not for the particular woman is pasul. Ustam anami pasul, meaning not just if you wrote it for a different woman, and we'll see all the cases in a minute, but even if you wrote it without any particular woman in mind. There's a lot of Yosefs in town married to Rachels. And a few of them are having fights. So if I'm going to save time, I'm going to write a get now for Yosef is divorcing Rachel. And when Yosef and Rachel show up, whichever one it is, I'll give it to them. That doesn't work. Right? Stama also is no good. So now we have a contradiction. Is Stam Lishma or not? Vishani, what did Rava answer? Very simple. Zvachim b'stam Lishman Omdin. What's a korban standing there for? It's standing to be brought as an offering. And therefore the default is that it's Lishma. But a woman who's married, the assumption is not, she's not there in order to be divorced, she's there to stay married. Divorce is something which is an intrusion into the organic order. Shechita is a following of the organic order, and therefore the stam goes that way. So it's simply contextual. Now, let's see the background to this. How do you know, Rava, that if you bring a korban without having affirmative thoughts, just stam, that it works? If you think it's from our Mishnah, v'lok tani shelo nizbechu lishman. In other words, it says shenizbechu shelo lishman, meaning if it was offered for the wrong purpose. And it didn't say shelo nizbechu lishman, meaning if they weren't offered lishman, implying stam. So it didn't say that. So you see, aha, stam works. But gabi get namiak tani. Then the Mishnah in Gittin uses the same formulation. Kol get shenichtav shelo lishum isha. As opposed to, v'loktani shelo nichtav l'shem isha. In other words, it doesn't say in that language, stam, it implies, the Mishnah in Gittin implies that it was written for another woman, not that it was written stam. So the formulation in Gittin is the same as the formulation here. How do you know that in the case of Kodshim, stam is lishma, and in the case of Gittin, stam is lo lishma? So that doesn't work. Elamihad, nan, ketzel lishman, v'shlo lishman, we have in the later Mishnah in our parak. The Mishnah says, if you did a korban lishman v'shalo lishman, meaning one of the avodot was lishman, and the next avodot was shalo lishman. So what's an example? L'shem Pesach u'l'shem shlamim. Meaning, you have a korban Pesach, and you did the first avodah l'shem Pesach, and the next avodah of it l'shem shlamim. Now, the Mishnah there says, then it's pasul, because Pesach is pasul if it's not lishmo. So the only reason it's pasul is because you actually said Pesach and then you said Shlamim. Ha l'shem Pesach ustama. But if you just did l'shem Pesach and then didn't have any thoughts later on, kasher. So you see that stam is lishman. So that alma stam and kilishman dami. So that doesn't prove anything. Dumashani hatam damar kol asel dat rishonah oseh. Because after all, we assume that whatever your first thought is, or your first statement, carries you through, and therefore. Since your first thought was proper, L'shem Pesach, unless you went out of your way and said L'shem Shem Shlamim, the Stam assumes that it's continuing with Pesach. Parenthetically, the Ragachover maintained that that's the reason that in Shmon Esrei, You have to have, ideally, you have to have kavanah, intent, attention paid to the words of the entire tefillah. But if you have intent only for one bracha, you're yotze. Which bracha? So the Gemara says, avot, the first bracha. So the Ragat Sherman has comments to the Rambam there, says, based on this principle, kol ha'osel, dat rishona ha'osel, meaning that because the first bracha was done with the proper intent, it kind of carries through the day. Okay, but that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove that Stam is Derech Soikei Lishma. And here the Stam is informed by the earlier Machshava. Okay, so then, Ela Miseifa, it must be from the next half of that Mishnah at the end of our Perek, Shelo Lishman V'Lishman. What's Shelo Lishman V'Lishman? It's flipped. L'Shem Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. If you did the Shechita L'Shem Shlomim and the Zerika L'Shem Pesach. Tama Dama L'Shem Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. It's only because you flubbed up the first Machshava. Hastam al-Shem Pesach Kosher, implying that if the first Machshav was Stam and the last one was proper, it would be Kosher. So you see that Stam works? No. Here we have an inverse of the principle we just stated, which is the end confirms what the beginning was. In other words, you didn't have any specific Machshav at the beginning, but you had one at the end, and now that reveals what you really had in mind earlier, or it defines what you had in mind earlier. But that doesn't tell us anything about doing the whole kit and caboodle Stam. We still don't know that. So, Inami, and you don't even have to say Yochiach Sofo, I did a Tana Lishman Rishlo Lishman, Tana Mishlishman Rishlo Lishman Lishman. We've said this many times. It's parallel construction. To make it easier for the Tanaim to memorize Mishnayot, the authors of the Mishnayot would often put a parallel symmetrical piece, but that you can't necessarily read it so carefully and be Madaik. Alright, Ela Miha, so that didn't prove anything. If it's from a Mishnah at the end of the fourth parak, L'shem Shishat Dvarim HaZevach Nisbach, a korban is slaughtered for six different intents. L'shem Zevach, for a korban, meaning whatever korban it is. L'shem Zoveach, for the guy who brought it. L'shem Hashem, for God. L'shem Ishim, for the fire. L'shem Reach, for the smell that comes up. And L'shem Nechoach, for the pleasing odor that comes to God. And Chatan Hashem have to also, the fellow has to intend a seventh thing, which is, what was the sin that he's bringing it for? Was it Chul Shabbos, with Chelev, Shivcha Charuf, whatever it might be. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Af Misha Lo Haya B'Libol, this is still in the Mishnah, Af Misha Lo Haya B'Libol, Shem Achat Mikol Eilu, even somebody who didn't intend any of these things, Kasher, it's still valid. Why? Shetnai Beitinu, the Beitin actually made a rule. Atnu Beitin de Lolemu Lishmo. Beitin said, we don't want you to say Lishmo, to ma'atil member Shalishmo, because you might flub it up and say Shalol Lishmo, you might mess it up. So they said, silence here is golden, the best idea is silence. Now, our comment is, v'salka da'itach stama pasul, if you thought that stama isn't invalid, would Beitin make a t'nai that you should be silent, and by thereby invalidate the korban? Doesn't make any sense. It must be that Stam really is valid. And that's why Beitin felt comfortable saying, you know what, don't say anything, don't think anything, just do it. And that way you won't have a wrong machshava, and it'll be fine. So you see that Stam works. Good. Now, that's how we know that in the world of Kodshim, Stam works. And that's why Rava said what he did. But now, Gabi Geta, Stam, Pasul, and Alan, how do you know that in the world of Gittin, if it's done Stam, it's invalid? There's 15 Rachels in town, all married, and all with marriages on the rocks. So you write a get that says Rachel on it, and then whichever one it is, you'll have saved some time. How do we know that that's invalid? This is now the Mishnah in Gittin that was titled Kol Get Shalot Rav Shalom Mishah, gives four examples. He's walking through the marketplace, and he overhears from inside scribes who are dictating. Plony, this fellow, is divorcing his wife by this name in this particular place, and he overhears it. From our Zeshmi, Zeshem Ishti, he says, that's my name, that's my wife's name, I live in that town, and you know what, I'll go in and I'll buy one of those gittin. Pasul Gareshpo, it's no good. So, that tells you that Stam is invalid. He said, no, maybe not. Dilmakarav Papa, because what does Rav Papa explain about that case? These are scribes who are doing their training. The names are made-up names. They were doing it as an exercise. This wasn't just written as a get, but for no specific person. It wasn't written as a get. It was written as a writing exercise. So that doesn't work. Ella miha, the next clause in the Mishnah. Yater al-kein, k'tav l'gresh t'ishto v'nim lach. Let's say a guy wrote a get. This is the second case in that Mishnah. A guy wrote a get for his wife, and then changed his mind. Baruch Hashem. Metzao ben Irov Amarlo, he found a landsman, somebody who lives in the same city, who said, Shmi kashimcha v'shem ishti kashem ishtacha, you and your wife have the same name as me, my wife, and so therefore let me use the get. Pasula gareshbo. He can't use it, the second guy can't use it. So that seems to indicate that stam doesn't work, but that's not stam. Because this get already was sort of connected to the first husband. So it's not that it was written stam. It was written for person A. To say that for person A can't move to person B is not stam. So therefore, Elamihat must be the third case. Yater al-kein, yesh lo shtein ashim shishmotein shavot. If a man is married to two wives and they have the same name, if he wrote it, the get, to be megarish one, he can't be megarish the other with it. And therefore you see stama doesn't work. No, because he didn't write it stam. He wrote it for one, and he wanted to use it for the other. Again, this is different because in this case, the get was already sort of designated for one of the wives. And therefore, I devoted to her, if you will. Right? Elamiha must be the last case in that Mishnah. Yater al-kein, amar la-lavlar. Let's say you came up to the scribe and said, K'tov le'ezer sheretzai garesh. You got two wives of the same name. Write it, and I'll later decide which one of them I want to. I can't keep both of them. I'll later decide which one I want to be megarish. Pasul garesh bo. You can't be megarish. And that seems to be a case of stam, because he left it open. It was certainly for him. Which one of the two Rachels it was for, he left open. That seems to be a case of stam. The answer is Shani Hatam Dein Breira. That's the whole discussion, long piece about the issue of Breira, which is retroactive definition or designation. And that's the problem of Ein Breira, and we'd say in a case of Doraita like that, Ein Breira, which means we can't leave something open-ended and then later on define retroactively what we meant by it. In the case of Maaser, all sorts of examples of Breira. So that means that Mishnah was a washout. It did not help us at all to prove that Stam Beget is Pasul. So therefore, Elamiha, it must be from this. Akotev Tofse Gitin, people who write the forms of a get, like a sofer, wants to keep forms of a get, so if somebody comes to him, he doesn't have to write the whole thing, he just plugs in the names. He has to leave four things open. The man's name, the woman's name, the Adim's names, and the day, the date. That can't be done in advance. He also has to leave the space that says, Harayat Muteret L'chol Adam. What do you see from here? You cannot write any of these things which are called Torah Faget, the real kishkas of the get, without having the specific person who's going to be divorcing and the specific person who's getting divorced in front of you, and it's written Lishman. So therefore we see that Stam get is Pasul, Stam Kochim are Kasher. That led to Rava's identifying a contradiction and a solution that it's really based on what these things are organically going to be doing. A Korban is going to be shechted as a Korban. A woman should stay married, and divorce is really an unnatural stage to go through. And therefore, without affirmative, proper intent, the stam is pasul. Okay, we'll leave it at this point. We'll pick it up with the next contradiction that Rava identified and resolved on that night in Bechermech. In the meantime, I wish everybody a wonderful day.